prophetic for some, but I felt the Holy Spirit say to me in this service, and the last service was really busy, but I didn't feel the Lord say it then. But as we were singing that beautiful song, The Blessing, May the Lord's Peace Be Upon You, I felt God say that there are some here and your heart has been broken last year. And God is saying, you are shielding and blocking yourself from God's blessing until you make your peace with what happened. It's not that you accept the wrong done to you. It's not that you're saying you're not going to pray for change. But there is a key of liberty for you for the new year, that you make your peace with what happened. Hand it over to God and allow him to open the door or close the door. But you need to make your peace. I'm going to be really brave here, but it's not about me, it's about you. Some of us have to acknowledge that. I will make my peace with that heartache or that disappointment from last year. I make my peace today, and I'll trust God for the future. Amen. Who is going to acknowledge that? There's no music in the background. You just acknowledge it. Whoa, okay. Whoa. That's a lot of us. Can you come forward, guys? Let's give them a round of applause. This takes a bit of courage. We want to pray for those who know they have to make their peace with the disappointment, the heartache. What didn't happen last year, or maybe what did happen. Do you know what? The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. Do you know what the promise of God for your life and my life is? He's going to wipe away every tear. But we need to make our peace. Was it a person hurt you? Was it a medical issue? Was it an addiction attacked you? Was it a supernatural attack of the evil one? I don't know. Was it a breakdown? Mentally, or a breakdown in a relationship. Just lift your hands before God and put the heartache for your life. Michael is Machek, just weave around, just touch people's heads. So just lift up the heartache before God. And we're a church of joy, but we've all had heartaches. In the name of Jesus Christ, as we come around your word, we hand you over the heartache. Can you say amen?
Amen?
The person who hurt you, the bad news, the situation that makes you feel weaker this morning. And we pray now, O God, that as we go around, that your peace would come upon our brothers and sisters. We pray they would make their peace with this situation. And we make our peace, Lord, knowing very often what happened was not from you. But we trust you. Can you say amen?
Amen?
We trust God and we believe that the living God will help us. So as my brothers and sisters make their peace now, we lay that on the altar, just lay it on the altar here in Grace Church Cork, and we leave it here in the church, knowing that we leave it in your hands, and we walk away here more peaceful because we know God has got our backs. So we commit that to you, Lord. Help us for the new year. And help us to be men and women of peace for 2026. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Let's give the guys another round of applause. Well done, guys. Appreciate your humility and your courage. Today we're calling it Open Sunday. And the idea about today really took hold in my heart last September. I don't know if you're new to Ireland, but a lot of places have open days. Schools have open days, so that if you want your children to go there, you can go and see what the school has to offer, what all of the extra activities, the sports, the various ideas in the school. If you want to study by night, there's open day exhibitions. And I thought, why isn't the Christian church doing this? So that we can say at the beginning of the year, if we want to see what the church has to offer, we can catch a glimpse of it in one day. And we wanted to do it because there's so much happening right throughout the week. For example, did you know on Wednesday night, almost every Wednesday, there's something here. There's Wednesday Disciple Machek is there. Machek and Social Elite, that. There's a new Wednesday worship happening once a month. It's unending worship. Hallelujah. And that's going to be happening on a Wednesday. So there's so much going on. And we wanted people to see that. And you know what inspired me was last September, Denise and I one evening decided to put on the TV and watch a film, a movie. And we put on the TV, and it's one of these smart TVs, one of them things. And we put it on, and I could see straight away the vision of the screen perfectly. I could make out that it was like a science fiction movie rather than a comedy or a drama or an action movie. But we couldn't hear the sound. And I felt God saying, that's kind of like a lot of Christians. We see, they look at a church like this or people out there, and they kind of see, okay, it's some kind of a Christian church, but they don't hear the sound. They're not hearing what's really going on. You can't watch a movie unless you can hear the sound. Isn't that fair?
Yes.
And I said to Denise, this stupid TV, it's so smart. It's all gadgets. It's all fandangles and this AI and that AI. And we can't even hear the sound in it. And Denise went, just turn up the volume. Amen. So I turned up the volume and we heard the TV. So today, if you will, is like us turning up the volume. Maybe you've seen the movie, as it were, of what a church like this looks like. And maybe you've heard a little bit of sound, but you didn't hear an awful lot. So we're turning up the volume for you. So it's Open Sunday. It's our vision for the new year, 2026. My first question is, where are we as a church going? What is our direction? I mean, we don't just turn up every Sunday and open the door and blah, blah, blah and go home. Oh, no, no. It's far more powerful than that. Hallelujah. There is intention in what we're doing. There's planning. Above all, there's loads of prayer. And there's the leading of the Holy Spirit. So we're not just doing events just because we fancy them. We feel God is telling us to do them. So where are we going as a church? And this is really important because half of our church have been born overseas and have moved here. The other half were born here. But whether you were born here or you moved here, God has brought you here for such a time as this. Where are we going? We're going to Cork! Cork, boy. We're going to Ireland. Or as the Irish and as the Cork people pronounce it, Ireland. Ireland. I praise God for the fantastic things that are happening all over the world. To see the revivals in Nigeria, in Brazil, in Texas, in South Africa, there's so much going on in Asia. But you know what? We praise God for that, but God has placed us here.
Yes.
And what works in Nigeria may not work in Brazil. And what works in Texas may not work in South Africa. And so we need to understand that God has brought us to a place called Cork in Ireland, and that has to be part of the picture of who we are and where we're going. The gospel never exists unless it is translated into the local culture. If you look at the Bible, Paul went to Athens. He saw they were very religious and spiritual, and he used poets from that culture. He used history. They had a statue to an unknown god. That's how he used the culture to spread the gospel. And we can see that again and again all over the Bible. So, brothers and sisters, God has called you to Cork. Would those who've come from other countries say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. We are so glad you're here with us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, God has called us to Cork, Ireland, and that always has to be part of our vision. So maybe something fantastic worked in another country. I remember someone saying we should be putting all of the resources we have into doing social work. But they hadn't realised, and that's okay, that we pay high taxes in our incomes in Ireland, don't we? And the income tax is the government helping people who need financial help. So they came from a country that didn't have that. So you have to adjust your your programming to see, okay, it's not quite the same as home. Now, there's a very good argument going on with pastors around Europe where more and more the government is giving up doing what it's doing in Europe and they're handing it over to churches. Hallelujah. And we're excited, and maybe God will do that in Ireland, but right now you are paying a lot of income tax, and it is the government who are doing it. But you know, maybe the day will come. But we have to adjust our visual and our audible incoming perception, because each area is quite different. So we're going to Cork in Ireland. If you're new here, if you agree with any of this, say amen. We believe in the Bible.
Yes.
We believe the Holy Spirit gifts are for today.
Yes.
We believe the church should be a community.
Yes.
We believe we should welcome one another.
Yes.
We celebrate what's Irish.
Yes.
Oh, three people said hallelujah. And we celebrate what's international about the church. And how do we do that? Well, for example, in Patrick's weekend, we always do a celebration of St. Patrick and everything Irish. And then we have our international feast, usually in the month of June, where people bring food from all over the world, from their country. So we celebrate. That is who we are. But I want to begin by looking at some scripture from Exodus 3 and 4. And Exodus chapter 3, very simply, is God appearing to a man called Moses, who was living a quiet life. He was very happy with his life. No problems. And God appeared to him in a burning bush. And he wanted to get Moses' attention. And we're told that the bush was burning, but the fire didn't spread. So this is supernatural. And he called Moses. He touched his heart. He put a calling on his life like he put a calling on your life. Hallelujah. And what did he say? I want you to rescue my people. The Israelites, 2 million of them, were slaves in Egypt. And God said, I want you to lead them out of Egypt. And so Moses is having a bit of a panic attack, a bit like you and me, if we know God is calling us to do something. I never wanted to be a pastor. Comrade, you never wanted to be a pastor. We didn't want to be pastors. We wanted a quiet life. And we were saying, the Lord will send a missionary. He didn't send any missionary. And the day came where we said, if we don't do it, who's going to do it? There was a gap in the wall. So Michael and I and our families, we started to fill it. Sometimes you don't necessarily want to do it, but God will call you. And so he was calling Moses, and Moses had mixed feelings about it. But above all, Moses was a little bit afraid. Look what he said in verse 1 of chapter 4. Moses said to God, but they, the Israelites, won't believe me. They'll say, the Lord never appeared to you. I bet you every Christian I've ever known, and I bet you all of us here, if we know God is calling us to do something, the first thing that might come into our mind is why we shouldn't do it. And the devil will whisper that in your head. He will give you all the reasons. And he's a liar, but it can appear a bit true. Listen to God, don't listen to the devil. So Moses said, the Lord, they'll say the Lord never appeared to you. You're a fraud, Moses. You're an imposter. And what did God say? What's in your hand, Moses? He's like, what? What's that got to do with anything? You're calling me to go to Israel. They won't believe. Go to Egypt and rescue the Israelites. They won't believe me. What's in your hand, Moses? And today God is saying to some of us here, what's in your hand? What's in your hand? Because there's nobody here with empty hands. God has put something in everyone's hands. Moses said, just a stick, he replied, chapter 4 and verse 2. It's just a stick. The old King James calls it a staff, but a stick is what we call it today. It's a stick. Do you know what it is? It's an everyday thing. It's overlooked. It's always there. It is unimpressive. It wouldn't impress you. It's a bit of rough wood. It's probably dirty. He's looking after sheep. He's probably trying to pull the sheep. There's bits of sheep wool on it, there's flies on it, there's bits of poo-poo on it and all of this. This isn't exactly brilliant. And everyone has one. But God says, what's in your hand? You see, I believe the Holy Spirit is saying to many of us, and some in particular, you are overlooking something I have given you. And you're writing yourself off for the new year because you don't value it yourself. God values it. It's about the heart. It's about our attitude. God, use me. What happens? Never underestimate what God has put in your hand. It is so easy to say, I am only. Do you know what I've learned in life over many decades? That people with a talent kind of don't value it because they think everyone has it. They don't. They don't. You might have a great head. You think everyone has a great mind. They don't. You might have a very caring heart. Everyone has one. They don't. You might be good with your hands, really skillful, with an engineering kind of a mind. You think everyone can do it. No, they can't. And I could go on and on and on. It's just a stick, Moses said. But never underestimate what God can do. God has given you a voice. He's given you feet. He's given you heart. He's given you faith. I'm going to do a little experiment, okay? Just to see if this is true. Would you stand with me for just 60 seconds? Do you believe God has given you a voice?
Yes.
That means you can praise God. It means you can encourage other Christians. It means you can tell and share the gospel with someone. He's given you a voice. If he's given you a voice, at the count of three, I want you to say hallelujah. And by doing so, you're saying, God has given me a voice. I'm not going to overlook this. With my voice, I can do great things for God.
Bring it on.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, I want a loud hallelujah. And you're not sitting down until I hear a loud one. Okay? One, two, three.
Hallelujah!
Woo! Look at you, baby. Has God given you feet? That means you can walk up to someone and you can encourage them. You can show kindness to them. You can tell them about the Lord. You can be a friend. If God has given you feet, let's stamp our feet. I hear the mighty sound. God has given you feet. Don't underestimate the feet. Put a hand over your heart. God has given you a heart. You can show compassion to people. You can be moved with what God wants to move you with.
Yeah.
You've got a heart. Has he given you a mind? Put your hand over your head. Oh God, let your thoughts be our thoughts.
Yes, Lord.
Give us strategies. Give us vision. Help us, oh God, to be used by you who say amen.
Amen.
Last one. Has God given you faith? If he has, would you lift your hands in the air and wave them? God has given us faith. Hallelujah. Now, there are just five things that God has given you and me, and we overlook them. Let's use them for God in 2026. Amen.
Yeah.
Let's sit down. Give yourselves a round of applause. Hallelujah. Here's another thing we overlook. Do we have legal freedom in Ireland?
Yes.
To be a Christian? I think it was Dara was sharing last week about all the countries where you can. So, for example, I'm going to get political here. Is that okay?
Yes, okay.
Okay, I'm going to get really political. So, there's lots of countries in the world, not all Islamic or Muslim countries, but a lot of Muslim countries, it's illegal to be a Christian. You can't have a church there. If this was happening in a lot of Muslim countries, we'd all be arrested. You can't have a Bible. Bring a Bible in there. And here's the political bit. Those people are the first to scream and shout in Ireland that they should be allowed to build mosques. They should be allowed to give out Qurans, the holy book. Really?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Is that fair?
No.
One rule for them and another rule for us. Hello? Yeah. If you're watching online, you can sue me. My name is Michael O'Donovan. Baby, come and get me. I'm gonna fight ya. Come on, the Christians. Come on, the Christians. Let's have a bit of fire about being Christians. Don't be a jelly baby, baby. You can go to countries that are communist and they don't allow any belief in God, like Korea. It's not like that here, North Korea, I should say. You can be in countries like India, and you can be in an area where the Hindu extremists are attacking born-again churches like this. They don't attack the traditional older type churches because they're not a threat. You're a threat. You are a threat to the kingdom of the devil. God, Tom, you're not very politically correct this morning. There is light and there is darkness. Who's for the light? Oh, may you shine where you are. Praise God. So, brothers and sisters, we have legal freedom in Ireland. Never forget it. Nobody can take away your freedom to praise God, to worship Him, to read your Bible, to talk to other Christians, to invite people to church, to come to church. Hallelujah. Amen. How do we know we have legal freedom? The basic corpus or book of law in the Republic of Ireland is called Bunracht na hÉireann, or the Constitution of Ireland. It's there since 1937. And the very first sentence of that says this: in the name of the Most Holy Trinity, we the people of Éire or Ireland humbly acknowledge all our obligations to our divine Lord Jesus Christ, who sustained our fathers through centuries of triumph. Hallelujah! Listen, I love our diversity. I celebrate the cultures. You've no idea how much Michael and I just love all the cultures. But I'm proud of this. So much so we have it on the wall up in the atrium. Nobody can make a law in Ireland that says you can't be a Christian without the majority of the people in Ireland voting this out. May it never be voted out. In Jesus' name, amen. So don't ever doubt yourself if you talk to someone about Jesus. They mightn't want to hear it, but you have every right. Brothers, do you see the creatures marching around the city? Do you see the people marching around for all kinds of alternative lifestyles? How about we march for Jesus Christ? Amen. Hallelujah. How about we be proud of us being Christians? Do we have cultural freedom? I'll never forget last Good Friday. See, I think something has shifted in the culture in Cork. And there was a time where if we went out in the streets, people would laugh at us. But something has changed. Now it's respected. Michael was sharing with me earlier about the Gen Z, young people, 18 to 24. There was a time when only 9% of them were going to church in Europe. Now it's gone up, what is it, 28? 24%. 1 in 4 young people. It's happening all over Europe. I'm meeting pastors. We're hearing it. We're seeing it here. We'll say hallelujah. There is a shift in the culture. Last Good Friday, we decided we were going to march out onto the street. We got Grant, who was at the earlier service, he was dressed up as Jesus. He was carrying the cross, and we said, maybe there'll be 10 or 20 of us. So there was 350, maybe 400 of us. And we marched out, and Michael was singing on the guitar, and we had other musicians. And I remember there's a wine bar just across the street here on McCurtain Street. Do you know the wine bar there? We all know it, don't you? We all know that wine bar. There's a wine bar out there. And as we were marching out, I wanted to see their reaction. And they were all like, rrr. And as soon as they saw us, they went, they couldn't get over it. Who are these people? With fire in their hearts, praising a God we thought was dead. How can he be dead if he's alive in their lives? Hallelujah! And we marched out there, and people watched us and listened to us, and we had more online views of that video. I should have put it up. More online views of that video than we ever have had of anything. Something is changing. The men of Issachar, the Bible says, understood the times. They knew what Israel should do. So we need to be aware as a church for the new year ahead. What's changing in the culture here? And that's why we're going to go out in the streets more. Hallelujah. We're going to start with Palm Sunday. Remember last year we had a load of people waving palms? Well, we're going to do that in the street by the grace of God. But most people in Ireland have an idea who Jesus is. They know something of the Bible. And when you talk about church, just be careful. They'll probably think of some very traditional, not very alive church. They won't know what you mean by church, but they'll have some concept. So we are not starting from nothing. It's not like you're talking to people who never even knew there was a God. Do we have a full-time building? You might say, why is that important? Oh, it's very important. Amen. For many decades as a church, as we were saving up our money to get a building, we were meeting in school halls and community centres, and it's just not the same. But when you have a full-time presence, there are so many people who come in here and they go, I was going on the bus and I said, I must try out that church. Or I saw your sign and I said, maybe one day I'll go in there. So having a full-time building, it's in our hands. It's a stick that we overlook. But we will never not be grateful. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Where is that building? It's way out in the middle of nowhere. No, it's not. Is it in a good location?
Yeah.
Yes. We're only a couple of minutes walk from the bus station, the train station. All roads lead to Rome, they you say. All bus routes in Cork lead to here. Hallelujah. All the bus routes come in here. We've even got a multi-story car park across the street. You'll crash your car in it, it's so tiny. But we've got one. We're in a great location. We're the second city in the Republic of Ireland. We are the capital of one of the biggest provinces, Munster. If you're coming from, we've people come from Waterford, Tipperary, Kerry, and they come here every so often because it's like a hub. We are a Christian hub for the whole province. Who'll say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Oh, it's so important to welcome people. Jesus always welcomed people. Where are we going this year? We're going to welcome you. And you and I are going to welcome others. Amen?
Amen.
We put a huge emphasis on that. And to be a strong community. It's not just good to see you. It's we're there for each other.
Yes.
We pray for each other.
Yes.
We physically help each other.
Yes.
We look out for each other.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Dimitri said amen. Dimitri said yeah. Anyone else say amen?
Amen.
I don't want to help anyone. Do you know what? If you help someone, the day will come. They will help you.
Yes.
I remember my grandfather saying to all of us, there was a neighbour to my granddad down in West Cork, his name was Tom Burke as well, and he sent us down to an old blind man, and he said, go down and see, I can't remember his name, Thady, I think, see if he needs anything. And I remember one of my cousins saying, why are we going down there? And my granddad said, go down and help that man, because one day that could be you. So show kindness to one another. Help one another, because one day you or I might need that help. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That's what a strong community means. Back to the story. God said to Moses, throw the stick on the ground. So Moses obeyed. He threw the stick on the ground. Throwing is an active obedience. It is not being passive. The day will come in this year for you as an individual, for us as a community, where we've got to be active. Don't be a passive aggressive with God. Amen. Okay, Michael said amen, everyone else isn't. Don't be passive aggressive with God.
Amen.
Do what he says. Amen. Obey. Moses threw it on the ground. You're letting it go. But when you let go, you let God. You let God move. So active obedience. The stick became a snake and Moses ran from it. The stick became a snake. You see, here's the thing, brothers. Here's the thing, sisters. So often we take a step of faith and you know what happens? A snake appears. What is a snake symbolizing of?
Satan.
Satan, the devil, evil. The snake appears. Some of us are here today and a snake has appeared in our lives. We're taking steps of faith, but it's like the enemy has come in. Who is that person? We're going to pray for you right now. Maybe there's more. If you know the enemy, just stand where you are, anywhere in the room. Just stand where you are. We're going to pray over you. That's it. Hallelujah. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. In the name of Jesus, the attack of the enemy, the snake that has come against you, no weapon fashioned against you will prosper. Amen. In Jesus' name. And the people of God said,
yeah.
Amen, amen. Praise God. Have faith, brothers and sisters. The snake did not kill Moses. The snake did not spread its poison. It looked terrifying. And look what Moses did. He ran from it. Some of us are afraid. We're running from the call of God. I can speak from experience because I know God was calling me. Michael and a whole load of others were saying, you're called to be the pastor. I did not want to be the pastor. I did everything I could to avoid it. I was like Jonah. God forgive me. I ran from it. Because I was like Moses. I just said, what? Should they eat me alive, that crowd? Don't run from what God has called you to do. A step of faith very often brings fear. Brothers and sisters, for the new year of 2026, if something in your heart is afraid, if even right now as I'm speaking, there is an emotion bubbling in your heart, or there's a thought in the back of your head where you're going, I couldn't do that, but there's this and there's that. Don't let the snake bite you.
Yes.
Trust God.
Amen.
He will give you victory. You are more than a conqueror.
Amen.
We are overcomers. Hallelujah. Look what God said. Put out your hand. Grasp it by the tail. Now, we don't have snakes in Ireland. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. All the international people are delighted. We don't have snakes in Ireland. Hallelujah. You have come to the promised land, baby. Oh. Someone said it was too wet for them. I don't believe it. It's just a blessing. But we do have dogs. And if you catch a dog by the tail, what's he going to do? He's going to bite you. If you catch a snake by the tail, he's going to bite you. But yet God said, Moses, catch it by the tail, grasp it. He didn't even say, grasp it around the neck, Moses, make sure he doesn't. No, grasp it by the tail. This is outrageous faith. This is bold courage. This is, I'm going to get up on that stage, and if they all laugh at me, I don't care. I'm pleasing an audience of one. Hallelujah. Do you dare? Do you dare? Grasp it, God said. Grasp the opportunity, even if you're afraid. Sometimes at work, there's a pause in the conversation, in the canteen at work, and you know you can tell people about Jesus. But like me, you're going to be a bit embarrassed, a bit afraid. Grasp the snake by the tail. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. It's nothing to do with you. It's everything to do with the power of God going through you. And that's transformational in our thinking for the new year. If we can release and encourage as many people as possible in our community to have that faith, have that attitude, it is unstoppable what God can do. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And it's not just for pastors. No, it is.
No.
Is it just for pastors?
No.
It's for men and women and boys and girls. You can be young, you can be old, you can be black, you can be white. You can even be bald, baby. God can use you. In God's hands with that overlooked everyday stick that Moses was afraid of and ran away from. He did powerful miracles. It wasn't Moses, it was God through him. But God used the stick. He confronted the evil of his generation, the most powerful man in the world, Pharaoh. He was consumed with demonic spirits, that man. But Moses overcame him. Because of the power of God, just using what he had in his hands. And of course, he lifted out his stick, his staff, and he parted the Red Sea so that the children of Israel crossed over into safety. And as soon as he took down his stick, what happened? The waters came back in. And who was in the water? Pharaoh and all his army. And what happened? Moses' sister Miriam led a song of praise where they danced. They don't dance in churches. Yes, they did. The people of God always danced. They got the tambourines. I used to play the tambourine for years until it was confiscated from me. They got the tambourines. They danced. And they said, I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he has done gloriously. The horse and rider cast into the sea. I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider cast into the sea. Who are the horse and rider? Pharaoh and his army to kill them. But Moses, with that everyday overlooked bit of stick, took the stick back, and the waters drowned Pharaoh. Drones the horses and chariots. It was the most powerful army in the world. And you know what? They never saw that enemy again. That's your prophecy for the new year.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Who's going to believe it? Never saw that issue again. I will give thanks unto the Lord, for he is triumphed gloriously. Horse and rider cast into the sea. May your horse and rider, who's chasing you to rob you of your identity and your future, may he be cast into the sea forever.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, God has put a stick in your hands. We don't value it enough. But because God is mighty and great, trust him and we will see our enemy drown before us. Sorry guys, someone has done something back there. Okay, where are we? Yeah. So vision is not, this is really important, it's not about being perfect. It's not about the conditions being perfect. Some of us, like me, want everything, all our ducks lined up, is the Irish saying. We want everything perfect before we do it. You know what the book of Proverbs says? The one who keeps watching the wind will never harvest. You and I will never harvest if we keep watching the wind. Take your eyes off the wind. Can I give you a bit of practical? Take your eyes off the weather forecast.
Amen.
Oh, there's going to be a bit of wind today. I better not go to church. Oh, the rain is coming. It's only water. It's only water. It won't do any harm to your hair. I know. Don't be waiting for perfection. Take a step of faith.
Amen.
Have a bit of fire in your belly and go for what God is calling you to do. It doesn't have to be the new thing. I know in one country that I'm familiar with, not Ireland, but the church there is obsessed with the latest thing. Now, I know God does new things, but it's like, what's fashionable? Brothers and sisters, you don't have to be fashionable.
Yeah.
The stick in Moses' hands wasn't a Gucci stick, baby.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you think Moses had the Gucci stick? I searched everywhere. Give me another name. Give me another luxury brand.
Prada.
Armani. Prada.
Hermes.
Hermes.
Tommy Hilfiger.
Tommy Hilfiger. Michael Gainey. Yeah. Pennies. Yeah. The Colquay. Moses' stick was not a Gucci stick. It was just a regular stick. Brothers, sisters, you don't have to be fashionable.
Yes.
You know, I visit sometimes a whole bunch of Christians up in Galway and Mayo. And it started, a great move of God started when I became a Christian in 1980. God was doing a work in a place in County Roscommon, I think it was. Actually, Elner, Ballyhadreen, what county is that?
It's kind of on the borders of Roscommon and Mayo.
So it's nearly Mayo, where you come from.
Well, I am from Mayo, yeah.
You're the real deal, Elner. So this little village of Ballyhadreen, and God started doing something wonderful. Whole loads of young people began to get saved. But you know what a load of them point to? There was an old man, and he was old. And he came over. He was from that area, I think, originally. But he came back from England, and he just started going to the cafes where the young people were hanging out. And they were young and trendy. And he was an old man, but he told them about Jesus. They never heard the likes of it before. He started telling them about the Holy Spirit. God can heal today. God can give you dreams today. God can come against demon forces today. God can give you prophetic gifts today. And so whole loads of young people became Christians, and the work is still there. And it all traces back to the most unfashionable man, Seamus something or other, wasn't it? I don't know if you know. And Seamus Tunney.
Seamus
Tunney. God bless him. He's with the Lord now. But it all goes back to a man who was not fashionable. Listen, if you're waiting to be young and trendy, you're waiting to be beautiful, you're waiting to be Mr. Muscle or whatever it is you're into, just trust God.
Amen.
Most people, after a couple of seconds, see beyond whatever's there. They're not really interested, but they are, because they have a hole in their heart. They have an empty vacuum that only God can fill. And you bring the good news. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him or her who bring the good news. Praise God. And don't be waiting for resources. Don't be waiting for money. Don't think you always have to have money. You know what? When we started the church, we had no money, but we had God. And you know what happened? Every time we had to do something, God raised the funds. Yahweh Jireh, Jehovah Jireh, which is the Hebrew name for the God who provides. You do something for God, God will provide. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I love what Theodore Roosevelt, former president in America, 1901, 1909, do what you can with what you have where you're at. But you don't know my mother's influence. Do what you can with what you have where you are. But I'm working in a company that's toxic. Do what you can with what you have, with what you are. But I'm not really good looking and I'm not elegant. Do what you can with what you have, with where you are. Who will say amen?
Amen.
Where are you?
Here.
See, you're not in Ukraine anymore, are you, Dimitri?
Yes.
God has brought you here for such a time as this.
Yes.
God has brought you here. You might say, well, I was born here. God brought you here. You're living here because God has you here. Are we just here by chance, all of us? Is your life and my life just kind of getting through a day? Can I submit and commit to you? Maybe challenge you. There is a powerful plan for your life this year.
Man.
A powerful plan for our lives. If we have the heart for it, God will use us. If we do what we can with what we have where we are. Praise God.
Amen.
So what's in your hand today? What is the gift you have? Maybe you'd say it's not a public thing. We honored David King and Tony O'Connell at the 10 o'clock service, who and the guys were sharing, and they were saying how what they were doing was way behind the scenes. Nobody knew anything about it, but God knew. It mightn't be a public thing. It could be a very private, behind-the-scenes thing. But God sees everything. And the day will come. The day will come for you and for me when whatever we did in secret will be praised by God or won't be praised by God. Secrecy never works. Not with the Lord. I don't hear anyone saying amen.
Amen.
We don't need secrets. We need Jesus.
Yes.
So some of us, many of us, have a gift that we probably don't even value. But God is saying, for the year ahead, use your gift. And if we're all using our individual gifts, and you can go upstairs just after the service to the atrium, and you can see 19 groups, and there's another one, 20, another group, it's an Irish language group that's going to start very soon as well. So you've 20 choices of what you can do other than just Sunday mornings. You've 20 choices of using your gift or maybe of catching the vision. So brothers and sisters, together, Lekela, God can really use us.
Amen.
But it begins with each individual saying, here I am, Lord. This is stick is in my hand. It's not Gucci or Hermes or whatever, but with you, and I can see my enemy drowning behind me, never to attack me again. Let the band come up. Can I ask you to stand, brothers and sisters? Where are we collectively? Collectively, we have plans for the new year, plans to do various celebrations. We have 7 or 8 big celebrations planned for the new year, and more we're going out onto the streets. If you've got the courage to come with us, you are so welcome as we go out together to claim back something that the devil has been stealing. This is what God is putting on our hearts today. We're going to sing a song called You Are My Vision, because it all goes back to Jesus Christ. That's where we're going. So we're going to pray in just a moment for you individually and the stick in your hands, and then we're going to pray for one another. But let's sing the song,
Akala,
You Are My Vision.
Akala.
Yes, sir.
We've changed song.
Have you changed songs?
We've changed song. We're going to sing a song called Build Your Kingdom Here.
You mean the Irish one?
As in the Irish one, exactly. We're going to sing the song, Build Your Kingdom Here. Many of you will know it, and if you don't, it's really simple. The chorus of it goes like this. Build your kingdom here. That's in our hearts, in our church, in our city, and in our country. Can I get an amen? Show, let the darkness fear. Let the darkness be afraid of what God is doing. Can I get an amen? Show your mighty hand. Heal our streets and land. Build your kingdom here. Set your church on fire. Can I get an amen? Give us a strong lead. Give us a strong lead.
Judging anyone who doesn't, but that is 95%. May God guide us, may God show us, and may the Lord separate the waters before we go on the streets. Let us shine our light in the city of Cork. I pray atheists would get saved. You'd say amen. I pray Catholics would get saved. We pray Protestants would get saved. We pray Hindus would get saved. that is us collectively. And I'm going to ask you to do a really cheesy thing. I'm going to ask that we all hold hands. The person next to you, across the aisle, go on. And if there's no one near you, just break into a group. Matt, we're going to hold hands here. Go on, you can play your guitar in a minute. Has everyone got a hand they can hold? If you haven't, just make your way in. Can you feel a hand holding yours?
Yep.
If you feel carefully, you can feel the person's pulse. I can feel Angelie's heartbeat. For God, hallelujah. We can feel each other's heartbeats or pulse. Let's close our eyes in prayer. Just as we feel and sense the life force in the person we're touching now, and they feel ours, we pray, God, that our hearts in 2026 would beat for Jesus Christ even more than it did last year. And we pray that just as we're holding hands now, just as we will encourage others, we pray they will encourage us. Help us, Lord, to have one another's backs. I need an amen.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, to do practical things to help one another. Who'll say amen?
Amen.
Help us to be the church that you want us to be in 2026. And help us, oh God, to see the city of Cork turned upside down for Jesus. In his name we pray, God's people said.
Amen.